We're the 7th of August 2017 and it's Monday, and welcome to another fellowship, and welcome to everyone that's listening on the blog. I'm really so blessed that so many people are listening on the blog now, and I pray you get encouraged and blessed. And I might in the future be doing a Skype fellowship as well, so anyone that wants to Skype in, if you're interested, just email me at lawrencetor@rumbox.com. That's my email address. I see what the response is, and if we get enough response and people want to hook up weekly on a certain day, we can organise something. So if you're interested and you want to hear the live teachings and also share your hearts as well, that'd be really great. On July the 8th, I taught on 12 things to do to keep moving hot with God. So I'll just go through the 12 things, which was: 1, we are to seek God with all our hearts. 2, ask God for his wisdom. 3, ask God to teach you. 4, we're to trust God. 5, decide to live unto God. 6, we are to wait on God or rest in God. 7, draw near to God. 8, we need to be humble and meek. 9, have faith in God. 10, keep doing right when things are going wrong. 11, keep God first. And 12, honour God with your substance. That teaching is on the blog. It's called 12 Things to Do to Keep Moving Hot with God. And tonight I want to look at the benefits of seeking God. Something that was really on my heart. And what blessed me and inspired me, obviously, was God, number one, working in my heart. But it was also from a little message I got on my blog from a wonderful girl from Germany. And it really blessed my heart. And I'm going to read out what she actually wrote. And it put, "Hi Lawrence, this is Ashley from Germany. I have been wanting to learn more about God for ages, but have made stupid excuses and really had no reason not to learn more anyway. I listened to one of your teachings today and I have seldomly felt so full and blessed. Thank you so much for making it available. I can't wait for the next one, and I can't wait to see you again. Send my love to Kim." So that was from Ashley Lamb from Germany, and it really blessed me because it just showed you a humble heart and someone that's seeking God. But obviously she's just been putting it off, and that's what we can do at times in our walk and in our life, that we can put things off. We can allow the things in the world to crowd out what's going on, or we just got so much going on that we don't really seek God. But God really wants us to seek him, and he really wants us to go to him. And there's another testimony that I received today from a believer in India, sharing about another believer who really sought God and the deliverance God gave him through seeking him. So I'll read it out to you, and I'll read it as it was written. I didn't have time to edit it, but it says, "Brother, we are sending you a testimony of a new leader who was suffering with sickness, but as he came into the word, he got healed and now winning many souls. This is the testimony. This man's left eye got damaged 29 years ago and can't see at all from his left eye. He went to the big doctors, but they told him he will never ever see from his left eye, and doctors also shared with him this example why he can't see from his left eye. They said, if you have a piece of stone with you and threw it at a mirror, what will happen? And this leader said it will break. So the doctors asked him, can you put the mirror together again? And he said, no, because it's broken. And then the doctor said, yes, like the same way your left eye got damaged and can't heal again. So he said to this guy, and so he said, come back home. So the leader said he came back home, and after 29 years, he believed on the Most High God, the unseen God, and he was born again and started to study and read the Word of God. And after reading God's Word, his eye started to hurt. So as he started to grow in the Word, he got more interested to read the Word of God, but because of his eye, he can't read. So one day, he decided, I'm going to talk with God, that God, I want to read your Word at least 3 hours in a day, but I can't read it more than 5 minutes. So now I want you to heal me so that I can read your Word and teach others. So he prayed first, then ministered healing to himself. And just immediately he opened his scriptures and started reading. And when he recognized, oh, I am reading the Word of God for a long time. And then he checked the time and he got surprised when he saw the watch. It was 3 o'clock. When he began to read the Word of God, it was 12 o'clock. He was amazed and remembered that, where is the pain? God healed him absolutely. He went back to Germany and the doctor saw his previous report and recent report, and the doctor got surprised and he said, both your eyes are absolutely healed and fine now. And now he reads the Word of God every day for 3 hours and winning many souls. God is great. So that was a wonderful testimony that when we really turn our hearts to God, when we really seek Him, that God is there. He's waiting. He really wants us to go to Him with a whole heart. But we have to be humble in our heart also. So I want to go to some records and just look at about seeking God and a humble heart and different things. So if you go to 2 Chronicles, I'll let you get there, chapter 26, we're going to read. So this is just a wonderful record of someone that was meek and humble and that sought God. We read in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1, it says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. Verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So if you read the rest of the verses up to verse 15, you will see how he was blessed and he became very strong. And what I like in this verse 5 is that it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And it's the same for us. God will make us to prosper in every category of our lives when we seek him with a pure heart, when we decide to go after God, when we decide to seek him in all matters concerning our life, concerning our walk, our relationships, our finances, every detail of our life, then God is going to bless us. He's going to give us his wisdom, his understanding, his direction. He's going to show us and lead us by his Spirit. So it's so important that we set our hearts to seek God. And in verse 16 of the same chapter, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And that's one thing that every leader and every believer really has to look out for, that we can get so walking by the Spirit of God, everything's flowing easy in our lives, that we can become complacent and not guard our heart. And the Word of God says in Proverbs, we're to guard our heart with all diligence. You know, we can get so full of ourselves. We don't start listening to other people. We're not humble. We're not listening to God. But we do our own thing. It says, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Well, that wasn't his job. That wasn't his place. And you have to read the whole chapter to get the whole understanding of it. And I'm not going to do that tonight because there's other records I want to look at. It wasn't his place to do that. But he thought he could do whatever he wanted. And sometimes when we get blessed in our life, we can get so successful in what we're doing, or in the area we can be successful in what we're doing, that we can become prideful. You know, no one can really tell us or teach us or instruct us. So we want to keep our hearts in a pure place, in a place where we can be coachable, where we can learn, where we go to God, where we're humble to do what God wants us to do. And so I think these records in the world are just so wonderful to learn from. In 2 Chronicles, we're in the same book, but we're going to a different chapter, 17, is another wonderful exhortation that was given to the people. We can still learn from it if we keep the right heart, right? So in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. I mean, that's a big, big statement there, and that's a big message, even for today's standards. You know, if people would just turn to the living God, and they would be humble, and they pray to God. How do we seek God? We pray to God. We go to him. We beseech him. We implore him. we go to his word. We see what the word of God says about these things. And then we've got to be willing to do what God wants us to do. We've got to have a willing heart to put off the things in our life that will distract us from moving with the one true God. When you kind of look at these scriptures, you always see that God is telling them to forsake something in the world. And so we know it's the world's ways and the world's philosophies and ideas that keep us from really moving with the one true God. You know, there might be things in this world that are so alluring, you know, that and so attractive, but it's not what God wants us to do. And so many people today are deceived by the things of this world. And where does it come from? The God of this world through the systems of this world. And that's why we need to keep humble. We need to check what we're doing. We need to make sure that God's first in what we're doing. And it blessed me with what Jason shared about, you know, he really loves coffee. And he's been drinking it for years and years and years. But that coffee wasn't doing him personally any good. And God was showing him this. But his heart was humble to listen to what God was showing him to do. And so he stopped this coffee and now his taste buds are flowing and he feels a lot more better in himself. And that was just a little instruction for him. And Jason shared this tonight in his testimony. And it's just so good that because he was going to God, God was able to show him what he needed to do. And then when he done that, he got the blessing from that. It says here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, become humble before God, have a need for God more than anything else in this world, and pray, talk to him, talk to God, and seek my face. In other words, no man has seen God at any time, but to seek God's face is to be in his presence, to know that he hears our prayer, to know that, you know, we're rolling our burdens on him, that we're seeking his heart and direction. We want to know what God wants us to do and the direction he has for our life. And if you want direction for your life, you need to seek God. Sometimes we can get lost in life on our journey through life. Many things come up. We might really been moving with God and really been doing great things, but something's come up, shook our world, and we're kind of left shooken up and we're left unbalanced and unstable, not knowing where our direction in life is. But how you get that direction back is by going to God, by being humble and seeking his heart. If you go to Micah, in the book of Micah chapter 6, it says in there, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? So in other words, God has shown us what is good, and what does God require of thee? And here it is, but to do justly, do the right things, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, God wants us to be dependent upon him, not upon the things of this world, not upon our own knowledge, our own wisdom, or somebody else's knowledge or wisdom, but he wants us to walk with him. And God has filled us with his spirit. We're born again of the Spirit of God. If we confess Romans 10, 9 and 10, we believe Jesus is Lord, and God confessed Jesus is Lord, and believe God raised him from the dead, we got that Spirit of God in us so that we can be led by God, that we can do the things that he wants us to do. And God is working in you, and he'll show you things to do. And if you've been seeking him, if you've been putting God first, and you're reading his words, you're praying, living that life, then you will recognize when God is working in your heart, when he's showing you to do something. For example, when God showed me to change my diet. Now that had a knock on effect and an example to my wife and to my daughter, because they could see that I was doing something. See, but because I done what God wanted me to do, I don't know the impact of what I was going to do was going to have on other people. And what we do in life will have an impact on other people, even around our unbelieving friends. If we're going along with them and we're believers, we're having an impact, but it might be the wrong impact. We're having an influence, it could be the wrong influence. But if we're doing what God tells us to do, we're conducting ourselves in the right way, even amongst unbelieving friends, then they can see the goodness in you, right? And they want to know that. That see, people are, like moths are drawn to light, so people are drawn to the light. When they see that goodness in someone, living in someone's life, when you're manifesting the beauty of God in your life, people are drawn to that, and they want to know why you are like you are. Why are you so happy all the time? Why do you do this? Why are you so blessed? And then you got an open door to share, if God opens that door with you to share. But is your lifestyle and how you are and who you are as a person in front of other people that people will read before they hear us? you know, we've just got to keep a humble heart with God, do the right things according to the word, what God is showing us to do. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud." And that doesn't need no interpretation or anything added unto it. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride is when we become strong, when we know it all. You know, no one can tell us anything. And that will get us to fall pretty quickly. And so God wants us to keep humble, and he gives examples in the word of keeping humble. So I want to look at Ezra. And if you go to Ezra, I want to look at the benefits. We're looking at the benefits now of seeking God. And we're just looking at a few benefits of seeking God. And one of the benefits of seeking God, which I got from this example here, is that Ezra sought God for protection. And, you know, sometimes we might be in situations that are dangerous or are not a blessing to us. But, you know, whether we're traveling or we're going into a hostile situation, whether it's with unbelievers or with believers, we can ask God for protection and we can go to him and seek him for these things. So that's our relationship with God. You know, God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life, and we're the ones that include him into every aspect. So in Ezra chapter 8, in verse 21, it says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Havilah, that we might afflict ourselves before our God." That afflict means to humble themselves, right? "That we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." What a record. I just absolutely love that. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Havilah, that we might humble ourselves before our God." So that's the first key in seeking God, is to go there with a humble heart, a dependency, a need for God, and to seek of him a right way for us. Like, we want to go the right way in our walk. We want to go the right way in our fellowship, in our life, in our finances, in our dealing with other people, in our relationships. And he says, for the right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance, the things that they had. So when we put God first, because we're seeking him, he's going to show us how to handle all the different affairs of our life. Can you see? All the different aspects of our life, like our money. God gives so much wisdom about being stewards, about looking after things. We've been discussing these things together. It's just, there's just so much wisdom from God that we can get, but we need to be humble and we need to seek God for those answers. And when we also go to his word, he shows us many wonderful things. Verse 22 says, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all him that forsake him." See, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. When you seek God, he's looking out for your good, right? "But his power and his wrath is against them that forsake him." And we don't want to forsake God. God never leaves or forsakes us, right? We're keeping him first in everything, and he's going to bless us. He's going to prosper us. He's going to give us direction in life. Okay, but we have to go with a humble heart. And verse 23 says, "So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." He answered them. He heard their prayer. And so when there's something or there's a need in your life that you need to really go to God for, you go to him with a humble heart. You seek him with that humble heart, and he's going to hear you. And he'll give you the answers. He'll give you the directions. He will give you the solutions. And so we just need to keep this in mind in our walk daily, to seek God, to be humble, knowing that God is going to bless us and reward us and protect us. See, this is the benefits of seeking God. In Psalms 27, if you go there, I'll let you get there. So Psalms 27 in verse 4, it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into choir in his temple. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Look at the confidence he's praying here, and with the heart he's praying here. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God is saying to you right now, seek my face through this teaching right now. What is your reply to God? And I love that. Look at the humble and the meek heart. Seek ye my face. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And that's what God really wants us to do. So seeking God also leads to blessing, right? And God really wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be happy in life. He does want things in our life to go smoothly. As much as we live in a turbulent world, okay, and sometimes we have the effects of that turbulence, when we seek God, God can reduce the effects of that turbulence. It's like when I fly, I always thank God for a minimum amount of turbulence, if not any. And we always have a wonderful flight. God is very gracious. And not to say that there isn't any turbulence at times when we're flying, because there is, but it's not, is reduced. Because that's our prayer. I seek God for these things. Just like when Ezra sought God for protection, I seek God for safe journeys and a prosperous journey. Every day when we wake up, seek God. You know, give the things to God. Ask him for his blessing. Ask him for his protection. Ask him for his direction. There's just so much that we can grow with God when we seek God. And he really wants that relationship where he can work in us by his spirit, where he's also communicating to us when we're seeking him. And have you ever noticed that when you pray, I know when I pray, when I'm taking time for God and I'm seeking his heart, I get so much inspiration and thoughts come to my mind, things to do, direction. And it's in those moments that I take notice of those thoughts that come to me, because I know that God is working back in my heart. So I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your prayer life, but that's something that I do experience, that when I really shut everything out, I say, Father, I just thank you for this day and blah, 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 and the things that I'm asking and seeking him for. And all of a sudden, as I'm praying, I'm getting inspired. I'm getting thoughts come to my mind. And then I remember those things, and then I just go ahead and do them. I'm energized. And that's another great thing. That's the part of that blessing, being energized, being filled with that living life, the live from the living God, of what to do, where to go, how to act, how to be. God may put it in your heart, for an example, just that you might be at home. And God may put thoughts in your heart to go and do something. And when you go and do that, you get the full blessings of that. So seeking God leads to blessing. Psalms 119, we'll go there, and we're going to be in the book of Psalms just for a little while. Psalms 119, a wonderful book, and it says in verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So God doesn't want us just to seek us about one area of our life, but all of it, yeah? Everything that's going on in your life right now, like there's many things that are coming up. You've got to move and you're going to a new college. You're going to meet new people. There's many things to pray for. And all these details, God wants to be involved in. And as you seek him, okay, Father, what do I need to take with me? What do I need to leave back? How am I going to be? What's going to happen? Make the things available. Let the living conditions be what I need it to be. There's many things to pray for. Can you see, as an example, when you get God involved, then he's going to really bless you. And you'll find that he'll go above your expectations. He always goes above our expectations. And in Psalms 119, verse 2, it says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, right? They're keeping the world and the influence of the world outside of them, away from them. They walk in his ways. They walk in God's ways, knowing what God says to them and doing the things that God puts in their hearts to do. And it says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So God wants us to know what he wants us to do from his written word, as well as in lifetime in our life, he's working with us, showing us. And God wants us to be diligent with these things, to remember what he says and how we should be and how we should talk. how we should live our lives before him. And he's working in us. Psalms 24, and in verse 3 it says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah." So that is just a real blessing, like just seeing that example there to us. Right, okay, and again, we see in verse 4, it says, "He that have clean hands and a pure heart." God doesn't want us contaminated with the world's ways. And even though we're in the world, we're not of this world. You might find that there are things that you're doing that are basically worldly, yeah? But it's having an effect on the things that you're doing in your walk with God. So God says, lay those things aside, stop doing them, and seek him and ask for his direction. So if there's something that's hindering you with your walk with God, then you ask God to give you the strength to overcome that, and then you make up your mind and do it. So it could be anything. There's many things that are there. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way so that you can escape it." So when you're tempted with something, and temptation is not sin. It's not sin to be tempted, is when we give in to that thing. And then what does it do? Does that mean that we're not going to heaven? Of course it doesn't. All it does, it affects your faith to receive from God, to go to God, to seek God. And when we allow things into our life, then people go less and less to God as believers. I know in my earlier walk as a believer, I used to be, you know, half and half into the Word and into the world. And the more I got into the things of the world, the less I would seek God. So that's why we get rid of anything that would hinder us. We lay aside every weight and the sin which does so evilly beset us, so that we can run the race. So he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And God makes our heart pure by the washing of his word. Okay, and by the Spirit of God we got in us. So we just put on that new man, that Christ in us. "Who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God, from the God of his salvation." So I just really like that record there. Okay, seeking God leads to provision. If you've got lack in an area of your life, it doesn't have to be finances. You've got lack. You can have lack in many different areas of life. But when we seek God, he will provide for us, yeah? And God does provide for us in his mercy and his grace. But if we're continued having a lack in an area, then we need to seek God what to do. And in Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him." When we respect God, you're going to have no wants. Your needs are going to be met. Like in Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." When we seek God, he's going to supply. When he's first, he's going to benefit you and bless you. And thus we got many benefits by seeking God daily, sometimes hourly. See, like sometimes we just need to go to God and get his direction on things. Sometimes that turbulence might affect us, the turbulence of this world. But we live above this world when we're living in him, when we're seeking God. And don't forget, we got Christ in us. We are seated at the right-hand side of God in Christ Jesus. And God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we have authority in this world as sons and daughters of God also. And we can use our authority when those things are bashing against us. We can say, "Let there be light in this situation." You know, and God does go to work. But we need to be humble. We need to seek him. and we need to do what he shows us to do. Matthew 6:31 is another record that many of us are familiar with. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? God is saying, don't think about those things. Don't even give one thought to that. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows your needs. He knows my needs. And God doesn't want us to be focused on that, but to be focused on him. Because right in the next verse, it says here, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is saying, look, just keep me first. Get me involved in what you're doing. Seek my heart. And if you're getting me involved, I'll direct you. And I will bless you. In other words, you're going to be fruitful in what you do because you're keeping me first. You're seeking me with a pure heart and clean hands, right? Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, you've got enough to do today rather than worry about tomorrow or next week or next month. Okay, seeking God leads to rejoicing. Now, who likes to rejoice? Yeah? And that doesn't mean just having joy for 5 minutes. It's rejoicing, a continuous rejoicing. And we know joy is an inside job, the gift of Holy Spirit in us. When we're walking by the Spirit, when we're being led by the Spirit, we're cultivating that fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is this joy. If we're being led by the Spirit and we're walking by the Spirit, it's because we are seeking God, that we are keeping him first. See, so in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we go back again to the Old Testament here, just to see these wonderful examples and what was being said. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 8 it says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deed amongst the people. So that's another thing, not only are we to be humble and to seek God, but we're to give thanks unto the Lord. And we're to call upon his name, make known his deeds amongst the people. No, share our lives, be those ambassadors for Christ. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Let that be in your heart. Let that be in your mouth. Let that be your conversation and your conduct. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. See, if you're seeking the Lord, your heart should be rejoicing. It says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. That's the key. Remember his marvelous works that he have done. That's one way to keep focused on God, is to remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. What a great record. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 16, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And today we can continually magnify God through speaking in tongues. We've got the gift of Holy Spirit. And when we're speaking in tongues, we're magnifying God. And it says, let the heart of those rejoice and be glad in thee. Be glad in God. Because you know he's with you. You know he's taking care of you. You know he's providing for you. Don't let what you see stop you from believing what is true. Because the word of God and God is more sure than the ground that you walk on, than the air that you breathe. And he's with us and he loves us. And we got that Spirit of God in us. And we're spirit beings. We're body, soul and spirit. And we need to live from the point of that spirit being. That Christ in us, that new creation in us. And we do that with that word also living in our hearts, saying what we want, not what we see. See, God really wants us to walk powerfully. And he's showing us how to do it. We seek him with all our heart. And I'm going to finish off here now in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6. And I love this. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, what? Diligently seek him. I encourage you, diligently seek God. Go to him. Keep him first. Look at the word yourself about seeking. Do a word study. Get a concordance. Look at all the places about seeking, beseeching, or besought, or sought, S-O-U-G-H-T, a God. And then you'll just find just wonderful things and the benefits and the blessings of seeking God, his promises. There's promises in seeking God as well. There's so much more that we can learn about seeking God and how God really wants to bless us. The heart in which we seek God is very important, because we can be angry and start praying about stuff, and we're going through the motions because everything's been coming against us, and we're not really seeking God. All we're doing is complaining. We're just saying the problem rather than the solution. So I just encourage you to really seek God, to go through these scriptures. Look at the records around. I've picked out different verses, but you can look at the whole records yourself. And just like that wonderful email I got from Ashley in Germany, she said she'd been putting the things off herself, but when she decided to seek God, then she got really blessed. God really made her feel so full and blessed. And that's what God wants us to be, filled and blessed daily. And we can have that daily. So God bless you. Thank you for listening.